Wealthy Radio. I'm Deborah Owens, America's Wealth Coach. Well, the job market is picking up. Employers are hiring, but people are feeling more stressed than ever. What can you do to break the stress habit? Joining me this evening is author and executive coach who will share how to turn your burnout into brilliance. And what would you tell your 18-year-old self about finances? It's our What Would Deborah Do segment, and I'm going to be sharing some of my stories and thoughts about what I would tell my 18-year-old self. But actually, it's open phones in our second half, and I'll be taking your questions about investing, retirement, college savings, and how you can build wealth. So send your questions, send your tweets to at Deborah Owens, follow me on Twitter, and the hashtag for our chat tonight is Wealthy Radio Chat. And as always, you can phone us at 410-319-8888. All that and more in just a moment. Welcome to Wealthy Radio. Well, are you ready to learn how to turn your burnout into brilliance and live your life like it's golden? Well, I know the feeling. You're going above and beyond. You arrive early and you leave late. Work-life balance. What's that? The job market continues to improve, and yet stress levels keep rising. Well, my next guest believes we're all born with a spark, and then life piles on, but it's possible to clear off the muck so you can shine brilliantly again. Denise R. Green is a speaker, writer, and executive coach, and she's committed to helping people go from burned out to brilliant. She's had a successful career with Oracle Corporation and Charles Schwab, and she founded Brilliance Inc., a coaching corporation whose purpose it is to unleash human potential. And for more than a decade, she and her team have been helping thousands of people feel less stressed and have more ease and fulfillment in the areas of their life. And she's sharing her tactics and strategies in her new book, Work-Life Brilliance. It says work-life balance, but balance is crossed out, and it's brilliance, tools to break stress and create the life and help you crave. Welcome to the program, Denise.
Thank you, Deborah. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you. So I want to talk about stress, right? And, you know, I'm an entrepreneur. And what I'm finding is all of my friends are having problems sleeping, and we're all relating that to stress. So I guess the first question for you is, why are the stress levels increasing?
Oh, boy. Well, you know, you mentioned earlier that people are getting up earlier, they're staying late, which made me think about the statistic I heard recently where companies are still kind of stuck back in the pre-recession days, and they're not hiring new people, and they're not paying people more. And then you add to it that our technology is accelerating at a pace that our brains can't handle. And so we're working too hard for too little. And our brains are overwhelmed with input and then exhausted by lack of sleep. So all of this creates a perfect storm for stress.
Oh, I believe it. You know, what I have to do, you know, so on the one hand, I have people telling me, Deb, you know, you've got to make sure things, you know, you're on social media and you're doing video and so on and so forth. And, you know, that your people are, responding you on Twitter, on Periscope, on Facebook, on all of these different things. And it's difficult to turn out. So I guess the other question I have for you, has social media kind of exacerbated the stress that we're all feeling?
There is no doubt. And there have been scientific studies that show that people who spend time on Facebook don't feel better after they spend time on Facebook. They actually feel powerfully negative emotions, and I forget who coined the phrase, but they created this term called frenzy, which is you kind of feel happy for your friend, but you also feel a little sick to your stomach because your life sucks now. And eclipsing Facebook, there was a new study that showed that Instagram actually makes people the most depressed of all of the social media.
Well, you know, that's interesting, because I was just listening to a anchor this morning talking about the fact that she doesn't go on Twitter because there's a lot of trolls and that people aren't as, how can I say, mean on Instagram. But is it that people can portray a life that that's not necessarily real, but they're positioning themselves so that they look as if they're living this kind of lifestyle. And so it can be, you know, maybe comparison kills, right? Like maybe seeing what others have and comparing yourself to that is the feeling, is why you feel bad on following people on social media?
No, you've got it. And I'm going to borrow that phrase from now on, comparison kills, because it's a good one. I'll attribute it to you.
No, but you don't have to attribute it to me, because who knows? I probably got it from somebody else. So feel free to use it at your...
Right. So there is a very real phenomenon that happens in your brain, and neuroscientists just call it status pain. And one of the things we learned to do when we were tribal was to measure ourselves up, figure out where we belonged in the hierarchy, and we noticed differences really quickly, because if somebody different was coming into your tribe, you needed to know that you were about to be infiltrated, and you know, you needed to sound the alarm. So we have this. We also have this story that we've developed. A lot of people think it's because we are so frail and dependent as children, as infants, more so than any other species, that we develop this I'm not good enough story. If I don't cry well enough, if I don't coo pretty enough, I'm not going to get fed, I'm not going to get changed. We're utterly dependent. So we have these things, this status pain, this constant comparison, and this feeling of not measuring up. So when we look at our friend's beautiful pictures, we don't think, oh, that's so nice, but I bet she's really cultivating these pictures and that's not really what's going on with her. No, we think, why don't I have that? What's wrong with me? Why am I sitting at home on my couch watching Netflix when they're out having fun? So we can't necessarily stop comparing ourselves, but we can turn off Facebook or whatever. I'm not just beating up on
Facebook.
Well,
no. I mean, that was my question. And let me just let our listeners know, if you're just joining us, I'm having a conversation with Denise Green. She is an executive coach, and she has a new book out called A Work-Life Brilliance. And right now we're talking about social media, but the fact is everybody's stressed out. And so we'd love to hear from you this evening. I see Maureen, I holler at you. You're on Facebook Live. We're speaking of social media, we're simulcasting this on Facebook Live as well. If you've got a question, are you stressed out? Do you feel burnt out? Do you perhaps feel like social media is, what can I say, that really is more of a negative than a positive? Love to hear from you this evening. 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. My guest this evening, she's an executive coach, and she's coached a lot of people in some fairly high-stress organizations, Charles Schwab and Oracle. I can just imagine. As someone who formerly worked for Fidelity, the kind of stress that you maybe had to help people work through. So, again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. We're talking about how to turn your burnout into brilliance. Again, the phone lines are open. So Denise, help us out. So social media is certainly adding to what we could be feeling about ourselves. And so what is, you know, here's the other thing I have. Like for younger people, I can't imagine having social media when I was in high school. That would just be frightening.
I say that all the time when I'm leading sessions. Can you imagine? Of course, you know, our kids are living it. I have a 10-year-old. But I write in my book, there's a chapter about how I was bullied. And this is a very common story. I was on the receiving end of bullying. And, of course, I didn't have social media. So it is there are reasons why it leads to suicide and suicidal thoughts. So there was a great article in the New York Times recently about how words actually do kill. And she talked about the science of hate and how we feel hate. And so one of the things that my clients feel tremendous stress from is comments that people make at work that they deem hurtful.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we were all told that words can never hurt us, only sticks and stones, but actually words do hurt us, because when something is not just offensive, but that is intended to harm, to hurt us, it actually affects our nervous system. It affects our adrenals, dumping cortisol into our system, which is a stress hormone. It affects our vagus nerve, which manages our tendency to fight, flight, or freeze. And what was even more frightening was it actually erodes the end of our DNA, the telomeres, and our telomeres get shorter as we age, but under extreme stress, that shortening process accelerates. So we're literally dying faster as a result of stress and hate and language.
Wow. Well, you know, it's interesting. I remember, and I don't know if it was a sermon that I heard or a story, but it talked about, particularly as parents, how for you to think about the negative things that you say to your children and think about it as if it were a nail, that you were nailing it into a post, and that when you, even if you take those nails out, there's still a hole there, right? And so that illustration, hearing that, really caused me to think about how I was communicating to my children, because to your points, words do hurt. And so the bullying and the kind of comments that people make on social media, and you know the only reason that they're even making those kind of comments is because there's some anonymity in it. People say things on social media that there is no way in the world they would say them to you in person.
That's right.
And yet it still has the same effect, right?
That's right. And one of the things that I teach my clients and I teach in the book is how to upgrade your thoughts. So how to notice when you're feeling that hurt. And gosh, your pastor's metaphor was so powerful. As you said that, I could just, I could feel it. And so those people that are trolling and that are full of hate, I can almost guarantee you that they have a lot of nails in them that were put into them when they were children.
Yes.
They have a damaged psyche. And so whenever I encounter a bully and I encounter somebody and I feel inside me that anger, because I'm all about fighting for justice. So when I feel that anger, I try and switch to, what would I need to think in order to feel empathy for this person? So maybe you don't want to feel empathy, but maybe you just want to feel more peace from the haters, because stress is the opposite of peace. And I want to help people feel at ease, because when you're at ease, you're going to make decisions better, whether it's money or what you say or anything in your life, what you eat, what you drink. Addiction is born out of pain. When we can notice the pain, feel the pain, and ask us, what is it instructing me? Well, it's instructing me right now to turn off, not get into this battle with the troll online, but to go and nurture myself, to go and call somebody I love. Because that's the antidote to those nails, is when you can be around somebody who cares about you, who you can just be yourself with and have what we call a safe relationship with, where you're not worried about
Yeah, you know, and that's why friendships are so important. Again, the phone lines are open if you're just joining us. My guest this evening and this first half is Denise Green. She is the author of work-life brilliance, tools to break stress and create the life and health that you crave. We'd love to hear from you. Perhaps you're in a work situation right now and you want are trying to figure it out. Hey, you can get free coaching this evening by virtue of this radio show. Give us a call at 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. Perhaps, you know, the stress that you're feeling, that also has health outcomes as well. So, you know, maybe you can get underneath that. You learn how to manage it, that, you know, you'll have better health outcomes. You know, you started saying, talking about cortisol. I mean, that stress hormone causes diabetes, heart disease, constricted heart, you name it. Stress is a killer. Phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. I'm going to go to our social media. I'm going to Twitter right now. So Samantha asked, do you recommend a certain time limit on social media to reduce stress?
You know, I'm sure that there's a statistic out there, but I think what you do is you figure out for yourself what works for you. I don't think anybody needs to be on there for more than 10 minutes. I don't know why you would need to be on there for more than 10 minutes.
Because people are nosy and they want to see what other people are doing. And that really is the problem with social media.
Right. And then what's the point? So, and what am I saying no to? So when I am saying yes to social media, and by the way, the way you're using it is the way to use social media. It's actually a wonderful, wonderful tool if we use it mindfully and we use it to learn and we use it to connect and reconnect with people. But it's a beautiful thing that we abuse because that's what our brain does. So bracket it, turn it off. Now, here's another thing you can do. I just don't even have it on my phone. It's not even an option for me. I have to literally open up my computer, log on. Why am I going to do that? I have to be so, and I use something called Hootsuite, which is just a way for me to post.
Yeah, we do
all
too.
Of my media.
Definitely.
Yeah,
you can schedule it that way.
All of your media platforms, you schedule it, you do all that in 5 minutes, you walk away, you're done. So that's a way to manage technology instead of it managing you.
Interesting. I love that. So, wow. You know what? I bet you my family, they would be like, yeah, Ma, you need to get rid of that phone. So if I got all my social media off my phone, they would be ecstatic. That is so, you know, my daughter, when we go out to dinner, she takes all the phones and makes it,
nice.
she takes them and so that we will engage. So, you know, okay, so let's talk about ways of managing stress because, you know, I have friends who are in some pretty, how can I say it, challenging roles, and I feel like people are self-medicating. Not that I'm saying my friends are self-medicating, but I do think that people now, it's like you've got to find a way to unwind. So give us some tips on what we should be doing. You talked about thoughts, and I think that's huge. If we are stressing ourselves out, maybe thinking about what we don't have, what are some of the routines that we can put into our, you know, develop so that we can have a less stressful life?
Right. Well, the one probably most powerful thing you can do is exercise every day. Because when you're exercising, not only are you exercising your heart and your lungs, but you're actually dumping endorphins into your body instead of cortisol. So that's going to give you just more healing power and more capacity to take on whatever's going to come your way. So is that going to last you the whole day? No, you're going to need some things to do throughout the day. I often tell my clients, before you go into the next meeting, you need to pause and just take 3 deep breaths. Because if you look around at everybody going through their day, not only are their faces down in their phones, but their shoulders are hunched up. They're not breathing they're not breathing deeply. So I'm not saying you have to take on a meditation practice, but just throughout your day, you need to take a deep breath and start small. Like you could just, at a stoplight, instead of fretting about, I'm at a stoplight, I don't want to be at a stoplight, I'm going to be late to my meeting. The stoplight is not going to care what your thoughts are. Nothing cares about what your thoughts are. The situation remains the same. So you can take this opportunity to shift your thoughts and say, hey, I have an opportunity now to do some deep breathing exercises. or say a positive affirmation, like, I'm right where I need to be right now. Whatever you need to say to yourself that brings you some ease. I have a bunch of tools, and even on my website, they can get my Break Stress Now 19 tips.
Please give out your website and let us know where we can find these tools.
Yeah, so that's at brillianceincinc.com. And all they have to do is go to the resources page, or actually first page. Just scroll to the bottom, enter your email. You'll get the Break Stress Now guide. It's got 19 tips, and one of them, these are all science-based tips, and they're really quick. So just as an example, the third one, smiling. Even if it's a fake smile that you create by putting a pencil in your mouth and forcing yourself into a smile, actually creates a positive endorphin rush. So it's kind of like faking it until you become it. You smile, you feel better. Just little things like that. But we're walking around with furrowed brows and scowls on our face, which is just, and then hunched over shoulders, which is just reinforcing that depressed feeling.
Now one of the things that you talk about in the book is self-sabotaging behaviors that we have. So talk to us a little bit about what we can do to kind of trick ourselves, because we're all our worst critics, right? And that critic in our head can be one of the main reasons for the stress that we're feeling. So how do we get past those self-sabotaging behaviors?
So self-criticism, again, it's linked back to that story that I'm not good enough. When you notice yourself comparing yourself to somebody, whether it's in a magazine, somebody's photoshopped in a magazine, completely unrealistic, or maybe you want to be a better public speaker, or you want to have a nicer car, whatever it is, notice that you're beating yourself up, and then what in that person do you want to borrow? So instead of being envious, you can be inspired.
That's good. You know, I was at this conference, and one of the women, that's one of the things she said. She said that oftentimes if we feel jealous about something, it's because we want it for ourselves. And that rather than looking at it as a negative, to really, as you just said, what is it about that what is it that you like, and how can you have more of that in your own life?
Right. So if you think somebody's a great speaker or looks really confident, study them. What is it? What are they wearing? How are they standing? What's their tone of voice? I used to read books and beat myself up because I hadn't written a book that good.
Oh, my.
It was kind of dumb. But then one day I had this epiphany once I unteased my own self-limiting story. And I realized, wow, you know what I can do instead? As I read these books, I can be so grateful that somebody wrote it. And I can take notes about what I want to use. And now, I mean, I constantly use books, stories, anecdotes, models in my coaching programs, and it makes me a better coach. So thank goodness those brilliant people wrote the books.
Good. Let me let our listeners know, if you're just joining us, I'm Deborah Owens. This is Wealthy Radio. We've got a few more minutes. These phone lines were pretty quiet tonight, 410-319-8888. My guest in this first half is Denise Green. We're talking about work-life balance, but more so brilliance. Her book, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. We still got a couple of minutes. You can call us at 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. And in our second half, if you got a question, it's our open phones, What Would Deborah Do segment, and I'll be taking your questions about investing, retirement. I don't do relationships, but if it's about wealth, I may be able to help you out. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. Now, one of the other things that you talk about is what I find is the things to do, right? Like my to-do list, sometimes it can be overwhelming, and that can cause stress, because I feel like it's the things that you don't do that cause the stress. How do you manage that more effectively?
Okay, love this question. So first thing you don't do, you don't roll out of bed and check email. I guarantee you are handing over your day to everybody else. So nothing will fit on your to-do list because you're now checking email and you're addressing all of those issues. And by the way, your brain is now getting fried because of all the surprises, all the triggers, everything in your email. So first thing I do in the morning is I have a breathing app. It's called My Calm Beat. It's not very pretty, but it works great, and it was built in concert with neuroscientists. I do that for around 8 minutes. I feel calm. I feel focused. And then I get up. I do my affirmation, and then I go to my notebook. Before I ever open up my computer or my phone, I go to my notebook and I write down the top three things that I've got going on, top three projects. And who do I need to hear from? Who do I need to reach out to? And then I open my email and I only look for those people. And if I don't have anything from those people, I send them messages. And then I do my most important task of the day, the one I'm really not wanting to do. And man, do I feel a sense of satisfaction once that's done. And all of that probably took me an hour at most. And then everything else is gravy.
So your whole point is manage the day and don't let it manage you. And I always think about that Stephen Covey, one of the illustrations that he had in Seven Wealthy Habits was the filling the jar and putting like the little pebbles in, and then you can't get the big rocks in. But if you put the big rocks in first, you know, more of what the important things are what you want to. And that's literally what you're saying. And yet I feel like we're allowing ourselves to be tied to these phones. And so the phones are running us and we're not running our lives.
You nailed it.
Excellent. Well, it's been such a pleasure. Please let our listeners know again, Denise, how they can get in touch with you and order your book, Work Life Brilliance, Tools to Break Stress and Create the Life and Health You Crave. Denise R. Green, please let our folks know how to get in touch with you. Uh-oh, we've got one question. Let's take it really quickly. Angela, okay. You're on the air. A question for us?
Hi, yes. My question is, how do you stay focused? Like, if you want to write a book, what do you do to stay motivated, to remain focused on your goals?
That's a great question.
Oh, it is a really good question. So, Angela, first of all, you've got to have a goal that feels like you're going to die if you don't do it. I mean, that's why I have my clients do this life satisfaction assessment, which you can get off my website. And they usually find something that was so deep in their subconscious that, you know, they've been ignoring it, hoping it would just go away, like writing a book or losing weight, whatever it is. So they bubble it up to the top and realize, oh, man, if I don't do this, I'm going to hate myself. So it's got to be a really powerful goal. And then you've got to get support. You've got to. So one of the ways you focus, so willpower, as I write about, is really, really wimpy. Mm-hmm. Our brain has almost zero capacity for willpower.
Okay.
So we have to create structures, rituals. For example, if you're wanting to lose weight, you just got to eliminate all the bad food from your house. Just don't even think that you can do it on your own. And then you hire a personal trainer, you hire a nutritionist, whatever it is. For me with the book, I really, really struggled until I found out that I had to get up at 4:45 in the morning. I mean, I'm a working mom, single mom, and that was the only time I could write. And I really didn't want to do it. It was painful. But I figured it out. I had to go to bed earlier so I would still get enough sleep. And once I did that, I got into a rhythm. But then I got stuck, so I hired a writing coach, a former publisher, and she got me through it. So I was trying to do it alone, and it wasn't working out.
Oh, so, you said something really powerful there, and Angela, I hope you got that. Is like, you don't try to do it on your own. Mm-hmm. And I love, as someone who's written a few books, I too, Denise, get up at 5 o'clock. That's when I'm my most productive and I'm not distracted and I can focus. It's different for everybody. I mean, my husband's a night person, you know, and so he can focus at night. So you'll just have to find the time that you feel most productive when you can focus, and then make it a ritual. Denise, thanks so much for coming on Wealthy Radio. Please give out your website.
It is www.brillianceinc.com. You can get all the resources we've talked about today. You can contact me through there. You can also reach me on Twitter at Brilliance Inc. and Facebook at Evoke Brilliance.
Perfect. Don't forget to give out those social media handles, although I won't have them on my phone anymore. Just kidding. Denise, thanks so much for coming on Wealthy Radio. Folks, don't go anywhere. Coming back, the phone lines are open. What would Deborah do segment? I'll be taking your calls. If you've got a financial dilemma, a question about investing and building wealth, your time is now. Don't go anywhere, folks. We'll be right back. We're beautiful like diamonds in the sky. Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Strength, courage, and wisdom. It's been inside of me all along. Strength, courage, and wisdom inside of me. Everyone, and welcome to Wealthy Radio. I'm Deborah Owens. It's our What Would Deborah Do segment, and I'm taking your questions this evening. If you've got a question about investing, if you've got a question about retirement, if you've got a, maybe you're, you know, I wrote a, and by the way, if you want to get my newsletter every week, you can go to deborahowens.com and sign up for it. But today my topic was, Are you trying to avoid losing so you're not playing to win? And the reason I wanted to talk about that is I was just looking at a new statistic, and it talked about the fact that women in particular, because we can be so risk averse, that throughout our careers, when we don't invest, we're literally losing anywhere from, depending upon what we're earning, $500,000 to you know, $2 million on the table. And so the point I want to make is that the greatest risk you can take is no risk at all. And when you're practicing risk avoidance, you're not playing to win. And so one of the things that I've learned through the work that I do, through coaching, is that once you learn, part of that fear is a lack of knowledge. And when you actually acquire the knowledge around how the financial markets work, how to invest, how to make proper asset allocation, meaning put different eggs in different baskets, have investments in stock mutual funds, bond mutual funds, and you know, and different types even of those mutual funds, what you learn how to do is take calculated risk. Right. So there's one thing when you take risk from ignorance. Typically, that doesn't work so well. I often say that ignorance is expensive. But what I've seen is women who went from, and men who went from knowing nothing and then learn how to research and analyze stocks, learn how to research and analyze mutual fund, learn how to do proper asset allocation, that increased knowledge has a tendency, well, not a tendency, what it really does is give you the confidence that you need so that you're not practicing risk avoidance and that you can take calculated risk. So the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. I'd love to hear from you this evening, or you can post your questions on Twitter or on Facebook. Let's go to our first caller. Cece, you're on the air. You got a question for me this evening?
Yes, ma'am. Can you tell me about this Bitcoin? And apparently I'm a little late in the game. Can you talk about it?
Well, Bitcoin, you know, so what can I compare it to? So when I think about Bitcoin, I think about it the same way I would a precious metal. So what's a precious metal? Like if you were to invest in silver or you were to invest in gold, right? You invest in it in hopes that the value of it would go up. So what the Bitcoin is simply a digital currency, right? And the problem with it, it's not really regulated, and there's no central bank. Okay, so you kind of got to take the word of whatever that digital value is and hope that it's true, right? And so a lot of people are speculating in them. The only thing I would say is to make sure that it's not money you can't risk, right? Because it is something new. And basically, you're taking the value that they're saying it's worth at face value. So it's not like you could go into a bank and get your money, right? It's in the whole digital world. And as you trade it, you got to hope that that money, once you redeem it, that it really is valued at what you say it is. But that was a great question. I'm getting a lot of questions like that lately. So it makes sense? So the other thing I'm going to tell you is go online, do some research, right? And not only that, but not only do research, but also find someone who has done it, who's actually invested in these, made this kind of investment, and so that you learn from their experience as opposed to you going in blind. But full disclosure, I don't own Bitcoin, so I don't consider myself an expert in it.
All righty, thank you.
Okay, appreciate your call this evening. Good question, though. 410-319-8888. That's 410-319-8888. And you know what they're calling Bitcoins, or they're calling them cryptocurrency. And the bottom line is, it's stored using a what they call a Bitcoin wallet, and you actually follow the value of that investment on the internet. So again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. It's our What Would Deborah Do segment, and I'm taking your calls. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. And we'd love to hear from you this evening. I was sharing a little earlier a blog that I did today. It actually came out in my newsletter. And so, you know, one of the things that I want to share with you is sometimes what is required for you to maybe gain some confidence is for you to learn is do what I call use other people's money to invest. So what do I mean by that? You know, I was speaking at a conference at Princeton University to some young women, and I had them do a portfolio challenge. And basically, I took 20 stocks, and I looked at what their prices were 10 years ago and what they were valued at on that day. And then they had to choose between different companies like Netflix and Amazon and Tiffany's and Disney. And they had to choose 10 stocks. They had $10,000 of play money. And then they had to compete against, there were like four different groups of women, young women. And I mean, they really got into it. They start thinking about, well, yeah, like Amazon and then Netflix, Disney, you know, Coca-Cola, FedEx, which of those stocks did the best over the 10 years? And it was amazing. They asked just very thoughtful questions. And two of the teams were within $400 of winning each other. And that's the same thing that you do. So stay tuned, because what I'm going to share with you are just some strategies that you can use so that you can actually experience what it means to be an investor without risking a whole lot of your money. So once you gain that experience becomes knowledge and gives you the confidence so that you're no longer fearful. That's what I'm finding. I'm finding that everybody's afraid, and the only reason they're afraid is because nobody ever taught you how to do it. But I mean, where would you learn, right? So you don't learn it in elementary school and high school or college. This is knowledge that you have to get on your own. So the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. If you're just joining us, this is Wealthy Radio, and it's our What Would Deborah Do segment. Let me go to Tina. You're on the air. A question for us this evening?
Hello, Deborah. This is Tina. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing wonderful, thanks. I had a question. I was considering maybe like a out-of-state job transfer, and I want to maybe it'll be with the same employer, I want to know how to evaluate the full impact of the cost, like down the line, you know. Like it'll be a promotion. I have like a moderate job, moderate income job, and I'm kind of getting to the point. I've been around for a while, so I'm not getting too much in terms of raises, like $500 or $600 a year. So I kind of need to move to more opportunity. But then I'll incur costs like higher. I'm thinking about coming back to the Maryland area, but I'll incur costs like higher housing and stuff. So I just want maybe to, you know, see what the real cost
Me applaud you. Let me applaud you, because that's right. I mean, if you're sitting where you are, and, you know, like I could remember, I would get bonuses and merit increases back in the day. You don't get that anymore, right? So you're lucky if you get 3%. So let me applaud you.
I get 1% now because I've been around a while.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, the only way if you're waiting for someone to tap you and say you deserve this, Tina, it's not going to happen, right? Mm-hmm. So let's talk. I do what I call, with every decision, a cost-benefit analysis, right? Mm-hmm. So the first thing we have to do is, what is the change in cost of living? So you're in Maryland, which is a high-tax state, and depending upon where you live, it can be expensive, right? So where will you be moving to?
Well, I'm in Georgia right now, and I used to live in Maryland. I'll be like returning to Maryland.
Okay, so you're coming to Maryland from Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
So it's going to be a little bit more expensive.
Okay,
depending upon. So I want you to do some homework. So you can go online and look at what. So are you going to rent while you're here?
Well, that's the biggest question, because it's with the housing, because we have a home here. I don't know if I rent or about townhouse, you know, because I know housing is kind of expensive, you know. We sold our house when we left there, 14 years ago?
Okay, so you've been gone for 14 years.
Mm-hmm.
And you're coming back. Well, typically, Georgia is a great place to, can be competitive, but typically, are you getting a raise for coming here?
It will, be a higher position. There's more opportunities with my employer there. Like, it's probably about a 24% increase.
Oh, yes, girl,
but
please.
But now, I don't earn much, so that'll only maybe
$13,000. $13,000, that's a heck of a lot, what you learned. So, so there's $13,000. At the end of the day, you still have to figure out, is your expenses going to be high? So do you own a home now?
We do.
Okay. And the value, if you were to sell it, would you come out of it okay?
Yes, we have a bit of equity in it.
Okay.
We bought when the market was going down in 2009, so.
That was a blessing. So timing. Mm-hmm. You know, what you are going to find when you get to Maryland is that home prices have come back up. You know, in fact, in the past year or so, you could see from a 5% to 10% increase. But, you know, my thought is, a couple of things before you, are you going to sell your home, or is that the plan?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Are you married?
I am.
And does he already have employment?
My husband works from home, and then there'll be some other opportunities there for him too, you know, but we do prefer Georgia living, but, you know, that's just one thing I was looking at, you know?
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is interesting in the South, the Maryland, DC, the whole DMV area, typically the incomes are higher, right? So I want you to think, though, I want you to take a long-term approach, right? So it's 10 years from now, Tina. Where do you want to be? What's the plan?
10 years from now, like right now, that's the beauty of, we have like a little less than 9 years left on our mortgage. And so it'll be paid off. And, you know, as far as retirement-wise, we seem to be on track, you know. Fortunately, I still have a pension with my company. And then we have like our 401k. So it seemed like here, everything seems fine. There, I guess the housing becomes the question. I'll get quite a bit more in pension. That'll be one of the things. So I'm not getting raises.
Yeah,
now.
That's
raises
the
again.
Thing.
You're... So if I work another 16 years or so, you know, my pension, I'd be much higher.
Yeah,
my profit share and all that. So I'll get more money there.
And your Social Security is going to be based on your highest 40 quarters. So in the long run, if you can get that type of an increase, it's going to impact your profit sharing. It's going to do so. Are you in a for-profit or a non-profit company?
For-profit.
Okay, so you have a 401k, so do they match?
Do. They don't match, but they just give us so much per year, you know, based on the company, and it's been good so far.
So your profit sharing, is that based on your wages as well? How much you earn?
It is like a percentage, and so I'll get more put into the profit sharing that goes in there, and then plus even the bonus that I get. So I'll get more both ways.
So a couple of things. Here's what you got to weigh. The biggest cost is always housing, right? And it sounds like you guys have done really well just in terms of having your house appreciate. You have equity in it. And if you were to sell and come here, right, you're going to have the cost of that. You're coming up with the down payment. How much is it going to cost you to finance it, right? So you want to take all of those numbers. So what I want you to do is look at if I sell, right? And then if I purchase a new home, what are my costs going to be, right? Weighing, though, that increase in salary as well as the other opportunities. So would you have an opportunity for even other positions by coming here?
I would have opportunities for other positions, but I don't know if there's a step two to this. This is sort of my interest, so it may be more, but I may not, you know. But other things could develop. You just never know. But it would. I'll have like a skill set. I'll even be more marketable, like if I was to have to go somewhere else outside, you know.
And that's what you want to look at the long run, right? Because here you are, you've been getting marginal increases, and now you got to position yourself to win, right? It sounds like, you know, financially you've got all your ducks in a row. So what I might do is hedge, right? So what if you, could you rent the house?
You mean where we are now?
Yeah.
Maybe so, but that'll be kind of worried about it.
Yeah, that's true when you're renting. Well, my only thought is, you know, give it a year or so to see, you know, don't buy anything, right? Even if you sell, don't buy anything until you really feel like it's a move that you're happy with and that you're going to stay. Because the bottom line is the cost of living is going to be higher here. But I think the fact that you're going to earn more money, it's going to impact you just in terms of your Social Security and the additional earnings that you're going to get. You're really positioning yourself to win, you know, no risk, no reward.
Okay. Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. I said, this sort of, because for my career, I said, you know, I invest and do all that stuff. I took my husband some years ago when he took a job transfer, and I ended up having to come down a few grades, and So I'm glad I stayed with the company. Things kind of worked out. But now that I spend time and, you know, like, oh, and there's this lower level, you know, I'm reaching the top faster and I'm, you
know,
raising.
And you know, I'm going to tell you, go with your gut. You know you deserve more. And it's never easy. I'm going to tell you, I look at my two children. They're both millennials and they don't play, man. They do a great job and they want to get paid. And if you don't pay them, guess what? They're going to keep it moving. And so I think we can learn some lessons from the millennials. They don't mess around. So I wish you well and welcome. Hey, when you come to Maryland, look me up.
Okay, then.
All right.
Well, thank you much. I appreciate all your help.
Okay, sounds great. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
All righty. Well, folks, we've got a few minutes left. 410-319-8888. If you're just joining us, I'm Deborah Owens. This is our What Would Deborah Do segment. And I'm taking your calls, 410-319-8888. You can also post on Twitter or Facebook. And if you've got a question and it's anonymous, I mean, you want to be anonymous, that's cool, too. Just tell them I want to be anonymous. Or you can say, I'm asking a question from my cousin. Whatever works. Again, the phone lines are open, 410-319-8888. Let's go to Diamond. You're on the air. A question for us?
Donna.
I'm sorry. He had Diamond, but Donna it is. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing, Deborah?
Good. Question?
Had a question. I have been advising some millennials in my family, and they're just trying to figure out how to get them in the mindset of making better financial decisions. One of the family members, they're living, got two kids, little kids, they're living paycheck to paycheck. Their interest is, when they rent it out, I was trying to advise them to rent out, start small and build, but they went and got the most expensive apartment and ended up defaulting and ended up having to be back home again with their family.
Yes, and, Lord. Youth is wasted on the young.
Right. And then, so advising, and other family members have been advising them too, we're trying to figure out how to get them to understand working hard and paying bills is not building wealth. It's just, and then getting a second job is not going to help. They have to take financial planning classes and debt and credit classes and, do a lot of things to learn about how money actually works. And I'm just trying to figure out, is there any books that have been written or any resources for
There's some great books out there. In fact, that's how you want to model it, and then you want to you want to model that behavior, and then you don't want to tell them what to do. You want to attract them to it. And they need to see other people like themselves who have been great role models.
And so, what are some?
A couple of things. Beth Koblener, she has a new book out about, it's called Get a Financial Life. Uh-huh. I love Susie Orman's book. It's called Young, Fabulous, and Broke.
Young,
Fabulous, and Broke.
Oh, Young, Fabulous. Oh.
Now, what you want to do. You want to give something that's age appropriate.
Right.
And millennials, they find more value in what their peer group does than they are in taking advice from, from the old fogies. So that's really what I would suggest you do is just look for times to show them models, people just like themselves who are making those choices and try to influence them in that manner.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Okay. Thanks appreciate your calling. Thanks so much for your support, Donna. We appreciate your calls. All right. Let's go to our next caller. Michael, you're on the air. You got a question for me?
I am calling in to say we are so proud of you. Coming out of the streets of Detroit, educating yourself and becoming absolutely extraordinary in the example that you set to teach us how to become financially competent.
Oh, you made me teary.
This is your cousin, and we are blown away with you. You are extraordinary.
Oh, I appreciate that, Michael. I so appreciate it. Well, what can I say? I had a lot of help. I had, we have our moms. They're fabulous. And if it were not for them, we wouldn't be here. No, I really appreciate it. So is this Michael Bland?
This is Michael Bland.
Oh, aren't you kind? So you checking me out on Facebook Live?
You are extraordinary.
Oh, I appreciate that. Well, I love the work you're doing, too. I mean, you've gotten into fitness. You're a bodybuilder. Health is wealth, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. And listen to you. You sound like you got a rate. I remember back in the day with our crazy cousin Tina, right?
That's right.
That's excellent. Michael, thanks so much for calling in. I've got to sign off now, though. I'm getting the hook.
No problem. I had one question.
Sure. Go right ahead.
And that question was, if we were to bet the market short, if we were to bet the dollar short, what marketplace should I put our money?
So you think the market's going down. Eventually it is. I'm such an optimist that so goes. So I'd rather get out of the market than bet it short. Because the problem with shorting the market is the only way that you can do it without jeopardizing yourself in terms of risk is to have a trade on the other side. So what I'm going to tell you, if you want to short the market, that you need to learn how to invest in options, right? Where you can either short the indexes, or you can buy a put on the indexes and limit your risk. But that's about all I could suggest from here. But I'm a long-term investor, but that's a great question, Mike. I appreciate your calling.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks. That's going to do it for me this evening, folks. Thanks so much for joining us. I'm going to sign off of Facebook Live now. Again, if you want to learn more about what's going on in our world, you can go to DeborahOwens.com to learn about upcoming guest, and if you want to actually suggest a topic, hit me up at Deborah@DeborahOwens.com. That's going to do it for me this evening. A shout out to Andre Shelton, our engineer, Andre Melton, our engineer, and Essence Mosley, our assistant producer. And appreciate your joining us this evening. Have a prosperous week, everybody, and good night.